कृष्णा हरे हरे।
वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। शुश्रूषोश्शब्दधानस्य वासुदेवकतारुचिः श्यान्महत्सेवया विप्राः O twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva.
Shrinvatam svakata krishnah punya shravana kirtanah हृदयन्तस्तो ह्यभद्राणि विदुनोति सुहृत्सताम्।
श्री कृष्ण, द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड, हु इज द परमात्मा सुपर सोल इन एवरी वन्स हार्ट एंड द बेनिफैक्टर ऑफ द ट्रूथफुल डिवोटी, क्लेंसेस डिजायर फॉर मटीरियल एंजॉयमेंट फ्रॉम द हार्ट ऑफ द डिवोटी हु हैज डेवलप्ड द अर्ज टू हियर हिज मैसेजेस which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted.
Nashta prayeshva bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki.
By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact.
Tada rajastamo bhavah kamalobadayaschaye चेत एतैर अनाविद्धं सितं सत्वे प्रसीदति।
As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness, and he becomes completely happy.
एवं प्रसन्न मनसो भगवत भक्ति योगतः भगवत तत्व विज्ञानं मुक्तसंगस्य जायते।
Thus, established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association.
Vidyate hridaya grantesh chidyante sarva samshayah kshiyante chasya karmani drishta evatmanishvare.
Thus, the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the self as master.
Hare Krishna.
Govindana Vallabha Girivara Dadi. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vana Chari, Jamuna Tira Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya, Prabhupada, Jaya. Go Premanandi, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nama Om Vishnu Badai Krishna Prasthai Buddhale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamane Namaste Saraswata Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavani Pasta Chadesha Tarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Jiva Sri Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Rama Rama.
Reading from Shivabhavam, Canto 11, Chapter 3, Verse 9. Satavar Shakyana Vristir. Abhisyatulbana Bhuvi. Tatkal Opa Chitoshnarko. Lokan Stream Pratapisyanti.
Shatavarsha, lasting 100 years, he indeed anavrishti and drought, bhavishyati, there will be, ubana, terrible, bhuvi, on the earth, tatkala, in that duration of time, upachita, accumulated, Ushna, whose heat, Arka, the sun, Lokan, worlds, Treen, three, Pratapisvati, will greatly burn. Translation: as cosmic annihilation approaches, a terrible drought takes place on Earth for 100 years. For 100 years, the heat of the sun gradually increases, and its blazing heat begins to torment the three worlds. Beginning from Patala Loka, a fire grows, emanating from the mouth of Lord Sankarshan. Its flame shooting upward, driven by great winds, it scorches everything in all directions. Hordes of clouds called Samvartaka pour torrents of rain for 100 years, flooding down in raindrops as long as the trunk of an elephant. The deadly rainfall submerges the entire universe in water. Then Vairaja Brahma, the soul of the universal form, gives up his universal body, O king, and enters into the subtle unmanifest nature, like a fire that has run out of fuel. Purport: according to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the word Vairaja in this verse indicates the totality of the individual conditioned souls who originally take birth from Brahma and are amalgamated back into him at the time of annihilation. By the manifestation of the Virat Purusha, the universal form of the Lord, there is a temporary display of forms, qualities, and activities within the material creation. But the entire cosmic scene reverts to inert formlessness when the creation is withdrawn by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Lord's universal form cannot be accepted as an eternal form of the Lord. It is merely the temporary imaginary resemblance of his personal form within the kingdom of Maya. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, as well as in the second canto, the universal form of the Lord is clearly explained to be an imaginary form offered to the neophyte for meditation on God. Those who are excessively materialistic are totally unable to understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually Satchidananda Vigraha, or the eternal form of bliss and knowledge, transcendental to the exhibition of material energy. Therefore, to encourage such gross materialists to become faithful theists, the Vedic literature instructs them to meditate upon the physical universe as the gigantic body of the Supreme Lord. This pantheistic conception does not reflect the ultimate reality of the Supreme Lord, but is a technique to bring the mind gradually towards God. Srila Sridhar Swami has quoted the following verse as evidence that Lord Brahma is supposed to go back to Godhead at the time of annihilation. Brahmana saha te sarve samprapte pratisanchare parasyante kratatmanaha pravishanti parampadam. At the time of final annihilation, all self-realized souls enter with Brahma into the supreme abode. Since Brahma is sometimes considered the best devotee of the Supreme Lord, he surely should obtain liberation rather than merely entering into the unmanifest state of material nature called avyakta. In this connection, Srila Sridhar Swami points out that there is a class of non-devotees who attain the planet of Brahma by performing asvamedha yajnas and other sacrifices. And in certain cases, Brahma himself may not be a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the words avyaktam avishate sukshmam can be understood to indicate that such a non-devotee Brahma cannot enter the spiritual sky despite having achieved the ultimate universal status of material expertise. But when Brahma is a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the word avyaktam can be taken to indicate the spiritual sky. Since the spiritual sky is not manifest to conditioned souls, that may be considered avyakta. If even Lord Brahma cannot enter the kingdom of God without surrendering to the Supreme Personality of God, then what to speak of other so-called pious or expert non-devotees? In this regard, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has pointed out that there are three categories within the status of Brahma, namely, those of Karmi, Jnani, and Devotee. Brahma, who is the most exalted Karmi of the universe, will have to come back to the material world. A living entity which achieved the post of Brahma by being the greatest speculative philosopher within the universe may attain impersonal liberation. And a living entity who has been awarded the post of Brahma due to being a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead enters into the personal abode of the Lord. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, yet another case is described. A Brahma who is a devotee of the Lord, but who has the tendency to think himself independent of or equal to the Lord, may achieve Mahavishnu's abode at the time of annihilation, but when creation begins again, he has to return and again take the post of Brahma. The word used in this case is Bheda Drishtya, which refers to a tendency to think oneself independently powerful. The various destinations possible for such an exalted living entity as a Lord Brahma definitely prove that any material position is worthless for guaranteeing an eternal life of bliss and knowledge. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna promises that if one gives up all other so-called obligations and surrenders to the devotional service of the Lord will personally protect him and bring him back to the supreme abode in the spiritual sky. It is futile and foolish to try to achieve perfection by one's own strenuous endeavor and not surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna. Such a blind attempt is described in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita as Bahulaya Sam, indicating that it is work in the material mode of passion. Brahma is the Lord of passion, and his creation and management of the entire universe are certainly Bahulasayam, or strenuous endeavor in the most exalted sense. But all such passionate work, even that of Lord Brahma, is ultimately useless without surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna. Thus, Vairaja Brahma, the soul of the universal form, gives up his universal body, O King, and enters into the subtle, unmanifest nature like a fire that has run out of fuel. There's a whole series of verses to describe the destruction which was mentioned previously. There's creation and then there is destruction. So this destruction is now described in some detail. We see here that there is rain and there is fire taking place. There is a drought where the sun gets very hot, and then there is fire, and then there is rain. 100 years of fire, 100 years of rain. And then the universe fills up with water. And then, finally, Brahma himself gives up his body. And then there's a whole long purport here about the different types of Brahma. So the general statement is that Brahma is a devotee, and because he's the most in the highest post in the universe, he's an exalted devotee, and therefore he goes to the spiritual world along with many of the inhabitants. So that's the general rule. But then we see there's a whole case here of exceptions to the rule also. So therefore we can understand that though scripture makes many statements, sometimes we have to examine those statements in more detail. And when we do that, then we find that, yes, Brahma goes to the spiritual world, but not all Brahmas are devotees in the highest sense of the term. They're somewhat devotees because they certainly accept the Supreme Lord, but they may not be at the highest level. They may have a mixture of karma. They may have a mixture of jnana or whatever. Still, they're given that post because they're qualified, and the Lord gives him some powers to carry out the creation and supervise the material world. Yet, they are not qualified for spiritual world. In other words, they have not reached the highest level of devotion. So therefore, they cannot go to the spiritual world. So we do have, of course, this is with the understanding that there are many universes, or infinite actually, because they're continually... there's a destruction and creation, destruction and creation. Each time there's the universe is created, and therefore millions and millions of Brahmas. So they're all individuals. And some of them at a higher level, some of them at a lower level. So those on the highest level, with devotion, then they go to the spiritual world. others may not have such pure devotion. So therefore, they have to stay in the material world or whatever, according to their qualification. So in this way, there's no automatic access to the spiritual world. It is by qualification. Right? And in the material world, one can have posts, which are generally by qualification, but then there is some flexibility in that qualification. So we say that all the devatas are devotees of the Lord. Yes, and then Brahma is supreme devata, so he's supreme devotee. But even then, they're all individuals. Some are in a higher level, some are at a lower level. Some make more mistakes, some make less mistakes. Some have more anartha, some have less anartha. But definitely have less anartha than the people on earth. So therefore we have to give them great respect. Nevertheless, they also can have problems, so they can have fall from their position or whatever. Of course, as they go higher and higher, we don't expect them to have so many problems. So when we get to Brahma, yes, he is very exalted. But still, among Brahmas, there will also be variations. So the post is there, but they're not all at the same level. So, generally the rule is, okay, Brahma is a great devotee and he goes to the spiritual world when he's finished his duties. But then we have another rule that you can't enter the spiritual world unless you have no material desires, unless you have some sort of prema. So therefore, if Brahma doesn't meet that qualification, he cannot go. If he has a qualification, fine. So we can say generally, yes, Brahma will have the qualification because he's the topmost person in the universe and one would expect him to be have pure devotion, etc. So yes, but then not always. There's always exceptions to the rule. So therefore we have to examine very carefully the different statements and also see the different qualifications. So the general qualification, yes, you have to have pure bhakti to go to the spiritual world. You have to have prema. And this should match up with Brahma's position. But then sometimes the position does not meet the qualification. So they don't quite make it. They're not at the same level, some of the individuals. So therefore, not all of them go to the spiritual world immediately. So we can extend that example, of course, and say that is so for all things. We have formulas and positions and statuses, and in general, yes, they apply. So we have varnashram statuses, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, and sudra. The general categories are there, classified according to gunas and karmas, etc. But then we have exceptional cases within that also. We have brahmanas who are not qualified. Some brahmanas are more qualified than others. And similarly with other castes, kshatriyas, vaishyas, sudras. So sudras in the lowest level. But then we find a sudra who's a great devotee of the Lord or is better than a brahmana or whatever. So we have individuals within these different systems that may not quite conform to the general rule. So therefore we cannot always apply the rules exactly and when we make these general statements. And within bhakti also, we have classifications like Kanishta, Madhyama, Uttama, like we've seen. But that's simply for our understanding. And within then we have all sorts of grades also, many different types of Kanishtas, many different types of Madhyamas, and even Uttamas, different varieties of Uttamas also. And then we cannot apply exactly the same rules to everybody within the Madhyam category because some are higher, some are lower, etc. Or the same with the Kanishtas. We cannot treat them all the same also because they're different varieties. And the same with the Uttamas. In this way, the categories are given for us and we always have to understand that they are, we can say, general. And there may be exceptions to everything. We have. So they're there for our guidance and they're useful for us, for understanding, or they may be useful for application like the varnas or whatever. But then we can't literally take everything literally all the time. We have to have a little flexibility within these rules and regulations. So that is exemplified here. Brahma goes to the spiritual world, but then not all Brahmas go.
because not all Brahmas are equal. And then we have the other rule, that you have to have prema to go to the spiritual world. So, okay, yeah. But even then, there is exceptional cases. So people that have mixed bhakti can go to the spiritual world. Of course, when they go there, they don't have mixed bhakti, but due to practicing mixed bhakti, they can go, the karma mr. bhakti, they can go to the spiritual world and get salokya. They have no more material desires at that point, but yet the prema is, we can say not real prema, it is very, at least very low, some type of shanta, or the same with the gan mr. bhakti. So they don't have pure bhakti, yet they go to the spiritual world. They don't really have prema, we can say shanta rasa of some form, but not real prema as we know it. So again, we have exceptional cases there that they can go there. So we have general rules and we have exceptional cases or whatever for everything almost. So therefore we have to be a little careful when we look at scripture also, and we have to examine it very carefully and just see that and not come to some very strict rule on everything, because when we look closer, there may be exceptional cases that don't apply there. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, behind everything is Supreme Lord. Of course, he doesn't generally interfere with the material world and the gunas in the material world and the karmas, the living entities, etc. But then we see that if one becomes a devotee, then he may interfere. And therefore the chandala or the dog eater who chants the holy name of the Lord once gets all his karmas destroyed. So this is, we say, exceptional case in one sense. So the whole bhakti is, in one sense, exceptional. It goes beyond the normal rules. So the normal rules are you have to do this and that and get rid of your karma this way and that way through jnana or yoga or whatever. But then we have the exceptional case of bhakti, where a very unqualified person who chants purely the name once, suddenly all those karmas are gone. He's superior to the jnani and the yogi. So bhakti itself is an exception to the rule, we can say. Surprising, because it does something remarkable. And the reason is because it's directly connected with the Supreme Lord. And when we invoke the Supreme Lord, then he can do anything he wants, because he's in charge of everything in the material world and everything in the spiritual world. So within bhakti itself, again, we have Vaidhi bhakti, Raghunuga bhakti, we have Sadhana bhakti, Bhava bhakti, Prema bhakti. So that's, of course, for our benefit, so that we can understand where we are and where we have to go. And we can understand our goal and mold our sadhana for our goal. But again, these are general descriptions, and there may be exceptional cases somewhere in between all of this. So we can't classify everything exactly sometimes. So therefore we'll have Raghunuga and Vaidhi, but then we have a mixture of the two sometimes. Someone does half-half also. Things are not black and white or cut and dried, etc. And in any case, Krishna can show his mercy in any case and do something extraordinary. And usually he can do extraordinary things for devotees. Of course, he does that even for persons like Putana, where he gives his kripa to Putana or whatever. So even for demons, he can do that. So, what to speak of devotees? He can also do extraordinary things as well. Now, of course, most devotees follow a process and they get the perfection by sadhana. They go through a regular process, sadhana, bhava, prema. So that's in general. And the Lord doesn't generally interfere with that. But then within that also, then we have, some flexibility itself. Therefore, and that's for our, the general outline is there for our benefit, but then it's flexible because bhakti itself is ultimately our relationship between the Lord and the devotee, and that cannot be governed by any rules, even if it is Vaidhi bhakti. It cannot be really governed by rules. It's the Supreme Lord himself and his surrender to the devotee. So therefore we see in the case of Ambarish, the Lord himself says, I'm in my devotee is in me, and I'm under the control of my devotee. And that's not even Raghunuga bhakti, that is Vaidhi bhakti. It's Vishnu speaking to Ambarish in his relationship with Ambarish, which is not Raghunuga or Raga at all. It's not Krishna, it's Vishnu. But even he's got this the surrender to his devotees. So then he'll do remarkable things for his devotees that are not expected in normal cases, like giving his Sudarshan Chakra to his under the control of his devotee. So we cannot always predict what the Lord is going to do in bhakti in general. And of course, Krishna is exceptional because his mercy is exceptional. And therefore, he's even more unpredictable than Vishnu, we can say, and what he wants to do and how he does it, etc. So therefore, he becomes the son of Yasoda and gets tied up or whatever like that. So he does the most remarkable things for his devotees. So we have the general descriptions of our process of bhakti, and within that, then there is the unpredictable factor of the Supreme Lord and what he can do for his devotees. So therefore, it's not completely predictable. It's somewhat flexible because of the Supreme Lord and our relationship with him. Nevertheless, we generally follow the general procedures as a good guidance. It is beneficial for us for advancement to follow the steps given in the scriptures.
Maharaj, we hear that even once level of the holy name is sufficient to give one liberation. We see Christians, Kra, which is there, that is for Krishna. So that would mean that anyone who is taking the name of Jesus Christ, he should be getting liberated. So, we generally assume that is not the case. But what is that offense which is stopping them from getting liberation also?
Well, it's not only Christians. It can be even people in India. They also chant the name of Krishna, or their name Venkat Narayan, or whatever they give their son's names. So they're getting Namabhas all the time. Yeah. So technically, everybody's liberated. Of course, then if they have aparads, then the effect is not so quick like that. So of course, impossible for us to detect what the aparads were, maybe previous life aparads, or maybe previous life, from previous life, from previous life. We don't really know. Could be in this lifetime, accidental aparad or whatever, we don't know. But obviously everybody's in the material world because of some reason, so therefore there must have been some problem by which keeps them in the material world, whether it is aparad or whatever. So therefore, if they chant, there may be some problem in that chanting also because of the previous records and previous lifetimes, which won't destroy all of the karmas. Who? They believe in God, so that's not an offense.
It's not that we should believe only Krishna.
Huh?
It's not that we should believe only in the Supreme Personality, not Krishna. In?
Well, we got Vishnu. We say Vishnu is God, Rama is God.
They don't believe in any of our Hindu. Huh? They have a sort of...
Well, he's God, a formless God, but he's still God. One God. Or it's better than many gods. He's also spiritual. So they accept that aspect, so that's good. We can say it is a transition between Brahman and Paramatma, somewhere in there. Because he's a creator, and they don't take the world as Maya, so they're better than Maya bodies. So they're not offenders in that sense. They don't say that God has a material form, like Maya bodies. So they're better than that. Of course, it may be blasphemous to say the Christians are better than Advaitins. Of course, the bad aspect would be that they don't follow the Vedas, but nevertheless, at least they have a concept of one God who is spiritual and supreme. And he creates the material world, and the jivas are different from God. So that's good. Very good. Right? Yeah, even the Muslims have rosaries also. They also do 100 names of Allah or something. So in that sense, they're doing something good.
About this Kanishta, Madhyama, and Uttama. Now, in the last chapter, we saw the characteristics of a Uttama devotee. But in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "One who preaches this message to my devotees, he is the most dear to me." And he uses superlative over there, Priyakrittama. But that definition is not even touched when Uttama was defined in Bhagavatam. How do we understand?
Yeah. So, of course, in Bhagavad Gita, when he makes that statement, we can't automatically apply and say that's the Uttama devotee, because of course the word Uttama is used in many instances where it doesn't mean the Uttamadhikari devotee, or even in Sadhana Bhakti, we call the person with faith as Uttama and Vaidhi Bhakti, because he has thorough knowledge of scriptures. So that, and the whole process of bhakti is called Uttama also, Uttama Bhakti. So that doesn't mean Uttamadhikari there. So therefore, the word Uttama does not always mean the, you know, the Uttamadhikari.
But he's saying among all humans, he is the most dear to me. Most, I mean, there's nothing higher than that.
So we can say that even the sadhakas, among all the devotees, the person doing sadhana bhakti is also dearest to the Lord. He doesn't say among the devotees that the Uttama is the best. This is among all people, he is the best.
That normally the people are non-believers in God, but still they have some faith of a superior energy which is protecting them. What will be the status of souls?
Well, that's better than nothing. Even we accept that worship of devatas is better than nothing, because they're following some rules or regulations, also following some Vedic injunctions. If they do follow Vedic injunctions, then they're following something, even if it is, you know, not the highest knowledge or whatever. So anybody that follows rules and regulations and controls their senses and worships something superior, yes, they're better than somebody who follows no rules and just thinks they're supreme. That's better, obviously.
So we can
even if it's not Vedic, you know, that's better. And of course, they saw it's not Vedic is better. And then if they differentiate between material and spiritual and Atma and body and God and Jiva, then of course that's the best.
So we can consider them as faithful and pleased to them?
Well, yeah, faithful in one sense, yeah. As long as they don't have aparad in thinking of, if they hear the name Krishna, then they're going to, you know, offend Krishna. That's so, then their faith is also a little bit, you know, narrow.
But we see that there are certain people who don't really have some sort of affinity for the name of Krishna, whereas they have so much of affinity for other forms of the Lord, like Rama and Narasimha.
Yeah.
So what happens to those people who have an aversion to Krishna, but like some other form of the Lord?
Well, generally, I don't think they'll have an aversion to Krishna if they favor Rama. He didn't like Krishna, but he liked Rama. Then I think his conception of God is also faulty. Huh? Because we say that they're all one God. So he's saying they're different. One is God, one is not God. I don't know what his conception is, but it doesn't look like it's pure in that sense.
Maybe the leelas conducted, they were not attracted with the...
Yeah, but then he's taking him as not God then. He's taking him with something else. Because if his leelas are not perfect, he cannot be God. It appears that great personalities like Brahma have their own challenges and devotion, living as a king will have more challenges. Does the Lord help everyone accordingly and therefore have equal chances? Well, yes, everybody in the material world, they're here because they're not perfect. And unless they have prema, then they can fall from their position, as we see in the case of Bharat. But of course, the Lord also, as one advances, has more and more attraction. He has more attraction for any devotee than a person who's not a devotee. He has more attraction for a person in bhava than he has for a person in sadhana, and more attraction for a person in prema than he has for one in bhava even. But he has attraction for everyone. And if they make mistakes, then he's willing to forgive. So for devotees in general, Krishna says, even if you commit the most abominable activity, you're still my devotee. Well, that's there. Huh? But then someone on bhava, like Bharat, then the Lord makes a special arrangement for him, even though he neglected the Lord completely and got attracted to a deer, he made a special arrangement so he could get prema. So the Lord makes arrangements for all the devotees according to their amount of devotion.
The online question, what is the situation of those who do not follow the principles of scripture but worship according to their own imagination?
Well, if it corresponds to scripture, very good, by chance, if it does. If it doesn't, and they do things which are very contrary to scripture and very sinful, then obviously it's useless. So we can say it's tamogun faith. They completely ignore scripture. Rajagun, they may follow scripture, but it's distorted by their own desires, so it's not really so beneficial because it always has some fruit of motive in it. They also have personal motivation in whatever they do in terms of scripture. So generally better to follow scripture than no scripture. If they're not following scripture, maybe it coincides to scripture. They don't know any scripture, but they may be following a very sattvic life or whatever. So very good. It's better if we do follow scripture because we can advance better because we get more precise details about what to do and what not to do.
I'll just continue. Those who undergo severe austerities and penances not recommended in the scriptures, performing out of pride and egoism, who are impelled by lust and attachment, who are foolish, who torture the material elements of the body as well as super soul dwelling within, they are known to be as demons. So are the Abrahamic religions seems to be demon class, not based on scriptures. Sometimes they beat on Good Friday. They beat their back.
That's Christians or Muslims?
Even Hindus also, on Muruga festivals.
Well, that's, they do poke. Even worse things. They put needles in their body and whatever like that. So, generally not recommended. We can say symbolic in some cases. They're symbolizing, you know, I don't know what they're symbolizing, but anyway, it's not a continuous thing like yogis or whatever who may torture their body, or what is it, a Vrikasura, or whatever, cutting off parts of his body, whatever like that. So all of these are lower modes of nature, obviously. I don't know if they have any scriptural reference at all, so not so useful.
Maharaj, you mentioned that karma mishrit bhakti, a person goes to Salokya.
Can.
So then, after reaching Salokya, is it that he will get purified and he can then qualify to go?
Generally not. He's followed his process for many, many lifetimes, and then he gets what he desires, so he stays in that, and he's very happy there.
A person who studied BSc, you can elevate him to MSc also if he wants.
Yeah.
Why not in when somebody goes to go, why couldn't?
Well, that's their final degree. There's no degree after that. They passed everything and they got that. They wanted that, they got that. And they're satisfied with it. Anything is possible. So in 1 second you can surrender completely to the Lord and go to the spiritual world, and there's examples of that. But then it doesn't mean that everybody does that. It's possible because bhakti is powerful and the Lord is so merciful, but then it doesn't happen in all cases also. Yeah, so this is we call sadhana. So we get our perfection by sadhana. That's called sadhana siddhi. The other is kripa siddhi. But we can't hope that the Lord's going to have that mercy on everybody.
One last question. For one in Bhava, as you were saying, he doesn't preach naturally because he is absorbed in the Lord. But we find that the Anubhavas for a Shanta Bhakta, he gives instructions to others. One of the Anubhavas of a Shanta Bhakta is he gives instructions to others. Mm-hmm. So how do we understand this, that he is at the stage of Bhava and Prema, but he is still...
Well, it says general. So even a Prem Bhakta, generally he's absorbed in pastimes, and we see the example of Lord Chaitanya, but then he does give instructions to Rupa Goswami and whatever like this. But in his later lifetime, he wasn't traveling around India and, you know, telling everyone to chant the holy name or having huge kirtans in Navadvipa, etc. So it's a general rule, but it doesn't mean they don't do anything. And then we have exceptional cases like Narada Muni, who's always preaching, but then he's also on the Uttama stage. Probably Shanta, yeah. I don't know.